Golf Talk America is brought to you in part by Club Corp, the world leader in private clubs. Go to clubcorp.com for more information.
The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on pgatour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
Well, hello once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America here on PGA Tour Radio. Tim Matthews coming with you, and it's an exciting day, a great week, because this is Friday, the 14th of June, and day two of the United States Open, getting ready to start out at Pebble Beach. And so we'll be talking about that. We have Art Sellinger with Sellinger's Power Golf, the long drive extraordinaire member of the team here today, and he'll be talking to us about Pebble Beach and what will happen on the first round and all the excitement that transpired. We'll go to Art here in just a little bit. In the meantime, Frank Bassett from our Nashville studios. How are you doing today, Frank?
Yo, yo, yo. I'm here. It's beautiful in Nashville.
Really good.
U.S. Open TVs are on. We're rolling. Yeah. We're rolling.
You're ready for it. Did you enjoy the first round? Ready.
I loved it. Absolutely loved it. Watched it start to finish. So it was great.
It was a leaderboard that's filled with a little bit of everything. A lot of major winners. Justin Rose with the lead at 6-under with a 65. A lot of low scores, surprisingly, number of low scores. Ricky Fowler is up there as well. Louis Oosthuizen. So a lot of guys that have won some majors, but also Nate Lashley and Scott Piercy and Aaron Wise and some others that maybe you're not as familiar with also in the leaderboard at 5-under, 4-under in that neighborhood. So we'll talk about that. Rory McIlroy had a good round. Tiger under par as well. Thought he could have gotten a little bit lower, but still finished under par. And I think any U.S. Open round, if you can be under par, you got to be pretty happy with what you're doing. The curiosity, Frank, is going to be, how is this course going to play? If we're already at 6-under, we all know that they try, USGA, to keep it around even par for a final score. We're looking at double digits. Is it going to get to 12, 14, 15 under par? Is that possible?
No. USGA is not going to let that happen. No, heck no, man. They're going to vacuum the greens at night secretly. It's going to get crusty and hard. Over the weekend, it'll get faster. So, no.
Yeah. It's not. Okay. We'll see.
I think
they've had a lot of moisture.
Hey, here's the story before we bring in Art. Ricky Fowler was the leader in the clubhouse yesterday in the U.S. Open. That was pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Had a great round, 500 par, but Justin Rose pulled it off with birdie, and
Justin
for the lowest
was
round
a lot of putts
in the first round with Tiger Woods in 2000.
That's right. So Tiger Woods shot a 65 as well back when he won in 2000, and he did go very low and finished at 12 under par. So, but they're, in other words, Tiger went to 6 under, and he only went 6 under the other three rounds, so maybe it'll be similar to that as far as the next three rounds. Maybe we'll only see guys going a shot or two under par, so yet to be unfolded. And don't forget about Brooks Koepka, also a decent round for Koepka to get into contention. Yeah. He is at 2 under par and had it actually at 4 under, but slipped up with a 37 on the back nine there
to shoot
his 69.
Had to be the hat.
But yeah, it was a different hat. It was.
Sorry. I had to throw you off your thing there. No, I mean, it was just a funky looking hat. It was just different, you know.
I don't know. He's got some style.
I guess so.
Speaking of the guy with style, let's get Art in here.
Hey, yeah.
Mr. Style Man himself, Art Sellinger. How you doing, Art?
I'm listening to more wisdom in the last minute and a half than I've heard in the last 10 years.
Yeah, it's getting deep. The shoes are lost. I hope I can save the pants.
All right, let me give you some takeaways, gentlemen. Number one, for anybody that wants to play better golf, realize the leader of the U.S. Open hit 50% of the greens in regulation. Granted, they're very small. But the average person who shot in the 60s yesterday hit less than 60% of the greens in regulation. 63%. You don't have to hit 18 greens in regulation. The best in the world only hit 13. You know, Fowler hit 83%. But this golf course will lay down because there's no wind, and that's the only reason why yesterday. There's nothing the USGA can do to screw this place up until it blows 25 or 30, you know, and you get a Tom Kite 1992 day. And that's all to it is the wind. So if the wind lays down, double digits and Tiger's record will, at Pebble, will just get destroyed, because it doesn't matter how narrow the fairways are. You're seeing that this is not chip-out rough, that the marine layer and the lack of wind and the moisture and the wet spring they had, these greens are accepting golf shots. So they'll kill the place because they can hit iron off seven of the tee boxes. And the first seven holes are as big a layup. How many times have you ever seen guys 4 to 6 under par, 5 under par after seven holes? 8 through 14 are a bear. And again, a foul ball is a bad ball. You hit it. You can do what a couple guys did and make eagle on 18, or you can do what Koepka did and almost hit it out of bounds. So obviously, you still got to strike the golf ball. But unless the wind blows 15 under par, this is going to be a regular PGA Tour event, and the USGA should not be upset about that. They should never try to control the winning score. They already took 4 shots off of the AT&T score by making number 2 a par 4. So all you're doing is messing with the word par. That's all they care about is the word par. You can make that place a par 67, and then all of a sudden Rose is only 200. What does it matter how many under?
It's
the best players in the world.
Well, I don't know that it matters, but they get upset about it, Art. It seems like USGA is always trying to say we want par to be your great score will be par, and whether we like it or not, that seems to be they hold on to that with iron fists.
Did they go too far, guys? Because this is the polar opposite of last year and the year before.
Well, yeah, it is. You know, Aaron Hills, they missed it and they went deep, and then Congressional, Roy destroyed that place. It's all about conditions, and I think Pebble Beach without wind is an obsolete U.S. Open course, but is the most prettiest course. It is a phenomenal course, but it needs wind. It's a seaside links. If they go play St. Andrews and it doesn't blow, they'll shoot 25 under there.
Yeah.
But it's still a great golf course. Any seaside links needs wind, period. Or else the course is defenseless at 7,000 yards and so many little short holes. It's all to it.
We're joined by Art Selinger with Selinger's Power Golf, and we'll talk a little bit more about that and get a tip from Art on how to get an extra 10 yards on your drive before the show is over. Take advantage of Art's enormous amount of intelligence that he has about long driving a little bit later in the show. Also, let's talk to Frank and Art, both of you guys. I'm curious what you think about Tiger Woods. We haven't mentioned him an awful lot, and he was a bit up and down and had that terrible double bogey in his first 9 holes and scrambles back and gets it to 1 under par. So he's at a 70, a 1 under, and he's certainly well within reach here. But what did you think of his first round, Art?
I thought that his first round was brilliant, and he was one golf swing away from shooting 68. And he made nothing, basically, especially on the back nine. He played his normal stalking first round, and it was just, I don't think he knows how he double-crossed it on number 5. But other than that, he came right back, roaring back. And he had kind of an odd group yesterday because he's watching Rose make everything, and he's watching Jordan fidget and have fits and go crazy and give us commentary while he's playing. So it was kind of a unique pairing late in the day. He's got to play late early. I think starting on 10 in the cold this morning is a little bit tough. But I loved his management of his game yesterday. He was just one golf swing. I'm not asking him to make any more 15, 10, 20 footers. One swing away from 68, and he was average. So be very careful. If he can come out of the gate today, holes 10 through 14, just watch, mark my words, if he can stand on the 15th tee today, even par, look out. He's got to play the first 5 in even or better, and then
then
he gets 15 through 18 and 1 through 7. He has a stretch there of a numerous amount of holes to where he can really go deep. So I love his position. I really do.
Well, number 10 can ruin your life. I mean, just needs to just get it in play, get it on the green, get out of there with a par. You're right.
Frank, you're right. His U.S. Open today is the first 5 holes this morning. I'm telling you, his U.S. Open for this week, mark my words, if he's even, he's a threat. If he's 1 or 2 over, he's got to come out of the gate hard this morning.
Hey, Art, what do you think about, you mentioned a little bit about Spieth, and he finishes with a 1 over 72. At one point, he was 1 under. He birdied the second hole, and and it seemed to be on at least a level pace and playing par golf, which would have been fine. He actually said earlier in the week that if you give him 3 under for the tournament, he'd take it right now. I don't know that he would as of right now, this was back on Tuesday. He said 3 under would be a great final score, he thought. Maybe he's expecting some more wind. But do you think his head is totally messed up? And in particular, you look at number 8, he hit a shot that went down, picked up his tee. The other guy's Tiger, you could hear him in the microphone saying, hey, nice shot, because it went right down the middle. Did he just misclub that? Because it ran 50 yards past where he wanted it to.
He hit one too many, and he flushed it, and he got a little bit of a hop, and that really upset him. And then the next shot down that hill, that's a hard thing to judge. Maybe a little gust of wind, who knows? And, you know, that's a very narrow green from front to back, and he airmailed that green. It was a great 5. I just look at two-way misses. A golfer who has a one-way miss can win a major championship like Koepka. Koepka doesn't miss it left. Koepka misses it right. The shot off of the first tee for Jordan, hooking that iron, scared me. And he's got a two-way miss. But, yes, he looked shaky from the start. He had a great approach to 3. He just looks uneasy. He just doesn't look like he's loose. He has a lot of thought over the golf ball. Again, I still think it's amazing that he's playing swing and still finishing in the top 10 the last 3 tournaments he's played. He's not playing golf. He's playing swing. There's a lot of swing thoughts in his head. And if this guy can play golf, he's dangerous.
Hey, you know, Art, I'm curious, when you know everything about driving the ball, when he drives the ball, when he's got his driver out and he's on the tee, I don't know that I've ever seen anybody else. What's with the bending of the club? He grounds it, and then he kind of bounces the club like in his hands, almost like a tension kind of a thing. What is that about?
He's pressing it into the ground, and he's basically, that's his trigger to start. I think he would be a better driver of the golf ball if he hovered the club, even if he lifted it a little bit, not as much as a Matt Kuchar. But I think he should practice hovering. I think that would really help. I think he should have one. You know, I had the chance to talk to Claude Harmon III, the teacher of DJ and Brooks, had a very extensive talk. And he said, look, we made these guys one-dimensional off the tee. We wanted them to be great at one thing, and that was fading the golf ball off the tee. Doesn't have to be a fade. It can be a draw. Just be great at one thing. And I think Jordan needs to pick a shape, you know, and that's the go-to shape, and that's it. Again, a lot of tension. They're working on some swing stuff. It's tough to think about your golf swing in that environment. Also, it's amazing to me how well he plays having to think about his swing. It's amazing. It's amazing to me that Rose does so many rehearsals while he's in the field of play and still plays, you know. I mean, he hit some loose shots at his amazing putting round. I just don't see that with a Koepka and those kinds of guys that, or Rory, that are thinking about their golf swing. So Jordan needs a big one today. Jordan's got to just be on all cylinders today and shoot probably 5-6 under to get back in the golf tournament.
Well, you know, Rose does that same thing. Rose messes with
I saw that.
That drives me nuts. I mean, I watch him and I go, what is he thinking? He's thinking about the swing. He's not just playing golf.
Well, it's a key move for him, Frank. What he's trying to do is he's trying to drop the handle down and the arms down so that they don't get stuck behind him and keep those in front of him. That's his simple thing, is he doesn't want to get stuck behind. He works with Foley, and that's their big move, and that's how he compresses the ground with his feet, uses his lower body well. He gets the club stuck, he's in trouble. Hey, look out for the Terminator, by the way. The Terminator, that's Stinson. Watch out for the Boss Man. He gets the start on the first tee today. He's a ball striking machine, and those greens are small. He is a ball hit. You hit the green, you got 20 feet. Goodness sakes! Watch out for this guy. I really think he's dangerous because I like his early time off the first hole today, to where he can go out maybe in the first 6 and get 4 of them, get it up to 7, get in the lead. And he's going to be dangerous. Guys, I think 15 under par wins this golf tournament, 14-15. It really does.
So that beats Tiger by three.
Looks like they're heading that way. And I don't know, again, no wind, what they can do, they'll certainly may try to dry it out a little bit. But if that marine layer, if it stays moist out there, it's still going to be neutralized anyway, and it's going to be a lot easier golf course. We're joined by Art Sellinger with Sellinger's Power Golf and talking about the 119th U.S. Open. We haven't talked an awful lot about Ricky. Are you liking Ricky's chances here? Seems like everybody likes Ricky, and certainly a lot of people want him to win his first major. This could be a great chance for him.
Great ball hitting machine. I mean, you know, he hit 83% of his greens yesterday. Goodness. Drove it huge, averaged 321 off the tee. Hits it far, hits it straight. Drove it 92% of the fairway. Just had a, if he'd have had Justin Rose's putting round, he shoots 59 or something. I mean, but real quick, the one you hadn't talked about, I thought you were going to bring up. Frank, tell me what you think about Mr. OSU recovering when he played that stretch like five over par. Hovland, I mean, wow, was that awesome to watch him strike the golf ball toe-to-toe with Brooks Koepka? Was that fantastic?
That was pretty cool. I mean, that was under pressure, under duress. A lot of people would have folded. A lot of people would have fallen apart, and he didn't. He just buckled down, much like Koepka does. When Koepka, you know, had those consecutive bogeys in the PGA Championship, he said, okay, that's enough, and he got started again. That was an impressive performance.
But what that defines, gentlemen, and everybody listening out there, is don't be shocked when these kids come out of college and they win. Don't go, how did that happen? College golf has made these guys pros.
Oh, yeah.
Junior golf today is college golf of yesteryear. College golf today is pro golf of yesteryear. I'm telling you, there'll be more 19, 20, 21-year-olds coming out, and they're going to dominate. They hit it a mile. Their fear factor is zero, and they can handle the pressure. That kid
He's awesome.
Is so ready to be a pro. It's not even a joke how ready he is, and he will win on the PGA Tour quickly.
The difference, guys, in a lot of this is the AJGA, the feeder program, if you will. Koepka was not an AJGA prodigy. Koepka could barely win anything on the AJGA circuit.
Right.
Couldn't do it. So he just packed his bags and went to Europe and Asia and just, you know, gutted it out. I mean, gutted it out to get to that point. So I think there's a chip on his shoulder about, like Hogan says in his the special they're doing on Hogan, he didn't come up with a silver spoon in his mouth.
Right.
And neither did Brooks. Brooks had to fight for everything, and he has that chip. And I think he just buckles down. And I think a lot of these other kids, and I don't mean this in a bad fashion, but they come up with, you know, the best clothes, the best clubs, nice, you know, Ritz-Carlton. We're gonna stay at the Marriott, JW Marriott. And we're gonna play in the AJGA events. They haven't had to gut it out. You show me the kid who's gutting it out, and I'll show you a true winner.
There's something to that. There really is, but it's changed dramatically, you know, and again, those that have those advantages are doing well, the best instruction, the best equipment, the best opportunity to play junior golf. There's no question. But I'm just telling you, college golf today is at the highest level. I went and walked Colonial at the Nike Invitational here this past year, and I watched these teams. I'm telling you, I felt like I was at a PGA Tour event, and it's just preparing these young people. You remember when these kids had a chance to play in the Open 20 years ago? They'd shoot 80 every single time.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
You know, they'd shake the defending champion's hand and go, hey, thanks for the schooling, but I'm going to tell you what, that kid stands on the first tee, and he wants to wear them out. He birdies 17 and 18 to shoot two under. You know, I mean, it's unbelievable.
Is Hovland, by the way, he's playing as an amateur, but is he not turning pro? Has he not said he's turning pro?
Next week. He'll debut at the Travelers.
Okay. So he is still playing as an amateur. We'll see how he finishes. As you said, our two under is how he finished. And boy, he hits the ball a long way. He hits it high, too. Every shot he hits, he pulls out a three iron, and it goes out of the camera's range. And it goes so high. He swings hard.
And he clips it. He doesn't dig it out of the dirt either. I mean, he's a sweeper, basically.
Yeah.
And he can hit it that high. Unbelievable.
How about Frank? How about Mickelson missing that little putt? Did you see that?
That was painful. It was painful to watch like Phil yesterday.
It was like a foot and a half putt. It was crazy.
He tried, too. He didn't, like, do a backhand Lanny Watkins, one of my favorites of all time. You know,
he lined it up.
Like, he missed a putt, and he tried to rake it take it. I mean, he gripped it.
Yeah.
How about, I'll tell you the putt yesterday.
Amazing.
I'm going to tell you, guys, think about this one. This defines Brooks Koepka. He had that short birdie putt on the back nine, and he just blew it through the break and hit it 5 feet by. Was that 15? I think that was 15. Okay, that was a crucial birdie putt. That did not faze him, and he poured in that par putt. I mean, he does not get rattled. That is what is so incredible. You can't believe how hard that comebacker was. As Paul Azinger said, this is harder than the birdie putt he just made. And he just gathers himself and knocks it right in the middle of the hole like it's nothing, with all the eyes and pressure on him. I love the way he started. This is a special, special big-time player right here. I mean, real special.
Yeah, and historic if he can pull this off. Unbelievably historic because he'll tie Willie. Well, but, hey, guys, let's go back to Tiger for a minute. You know, Tiger is, well, the last winner to win a U.S. Open over the age of 40 was who, Tim? It was Payne Stewart in 99.
U.S.
He was 42.
Payne Stewart, okay.
Payne Stewart. So
really?
That's
really
the last one. So if Tiger could pull it off, he makes history.
Wasn't it Dale Irwin before that?
It was. It sure was.
Yeah.
Speaking of whiffing a putt into the cup,
he
just missed the whole ball to tap it in. Yeah,
I think Tiger, you know, in the way he played and just his focus and everything else that you saw, it's going to be really interesting. As Art said, if he can maintain, if he makes a few putts, which we say that about everybody, right? If Spieth makes a few putts, if Rory makes, they all got to make some putts, and if they do, they got a chance at it. But Tiger certainly, I think, still has an aura about him that's different. It may not be an intimidation. It certainly is not going to be what Ernie Els spoke about 20, 25 years ago of, you know, everybody's playing for second almost every tournament Tiger's in. But there's no mistaking that everybody knows
there's an
where
aura.
Tiger is at almost any time and what the crowds are reacting to and everything else when it comes to Tiger. people's eyes are going to be on this guy.
Did you see Brooks' crowd compared to Tiger's crowd yesterday? I mean, it was sad in a way, but, you know.
Well, which is a good point, too. I'm curious about, because remember, or not remember, but if you think back a couple of days ago, there were some comments, and Koepka was a little bit upset that he wasn't getting promoted as much with Fox coverage and all the things they were doing about the U.S. Open coming up. He wasn't included in as much as some of the other guys. Now, some people would say, that is a little bit surprising. He's won two straight U.S. Opens. But other people would say their job is to promote the golf tournament so that everybody watches, and even non-golf nuts will watch as well.
Yep.
They got to promote the guys that will bring the eyeballs, and Brooks Koepka just doesn't do that to a lot of people. It doesn't take anything away from his game of golf, but he's not a major draw.
You know, I didn't get that feeling in watching all the hype and the pre. I felt like he was included. So maybe I missed it. You're always going to have Tiger. Your two biggest faces are going to be Tiger and Rory and Phil, of course, in there. Those are the faces that everybody knows that can have a rooting interest. But I really think they're including him, and I think he's opening up in the media room. I really do. So I don't think he's got a beef anymore.
I think you're right.
I do. I didn't see it. Now, again, who follows him is a whole nother story. Because I work a lot with Jerry Foltz at Golf Channel.
And great guy. Great friend.
He was at the British Open last year when Tiger was in the last group. What was he in the last group with Molinari? Correct? And wasn't Spieth winning? Is that correct at one time? Or anyway.
At which tournament?
At the Open?
He told me that basically it was family and friends following everybody else, and 95% of the crowd was following Tiger. That was it. I mean, it's just
it is what it is.
Amazing.
Yeah.
What he still draws.
And he's also brought the paychecks to those guys too, so they can tangibly say thank you to Tiger for that.
But
and if they have to back off their ego a little bit and say he gets 90% of the fans and I only get 40 people watching me, so be it. You still, whether you win or come in 15th, that check is a lot bigger because
of Tiger. Back it up to Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus. Same thing. Yeah. Arnold Palmer had the crowds. I mean, the huge crowds following him. And Nicklaus, in his early days, people were booing him.
Right.
Even to the point where Palmer had to go to the crowds and say, hey, don't stop it. Don't boo my competitor. Don't do it.
I got to get one thing off my chest. Please help me with this, because I'm really struggling. I'm so upset watching. Tell me what possesses that individual after the cheers, everybody gives the claps, but then the one guy or two or three right before the guy's going to hit has got to scream, come on, Tiger, or something like that. He's got to scream something. I want somebody to take a baton to his knees so bad. I do. I can't stand that.
Really? Call Tanya Harding. Call Tanya Harding's boyfriend. He'll take care of it.
What does he think he's accomplishing? What is he accomplishing? Cheer with
everybody. I think he's five beers. He's
five beers in.
He's five beers in, and he doesn't make sense to himself. He doesn't know what he's doing. But he thinks if I can wait for the drone to stop, then I get hurt. And I talk to my buddies back in Omaha. And I heard you. Yeah, man, that was cool. You know, I got to think that's
great,
the reason you're doing it.
Omaha, you pick Omaha for that? Great.
I'm going to tell you right now, people that play this game, the way Tiger can play in that theater with those lunatics around him 20 deep is beyond me how he can draw it back. Because you never know when you're going to get jeered in your backswing or who knows what.
That's
what
true.
Somebody's individual agenda is, you know, I can't fathom it. I just don't get it. And I don't get how well he performs and keeps his cool with these idiots out there. I really don't. So,
well, Art, I think the answer then is for you to call USGA and suggest that they play Pantera and Motley Crue just like you do at the World Long Drive Championships.
Well, likely.
You got so much noise going and so much music that nobody could scream over that. There's no sudden noise.
Do they play my favorite band, Motley Crue, at the Long Drive?
I'm not in charge.
They play a little bit
anymore.
Of everything.
I'm not in charge.
But they did.
That was the theme of this year's Masters.
We used to play a lot of stuff, and I'm glad that ASCAP, which is the governing body of music in a public forum, never fined me. So I'm good. Thank you.
Guess what? I'm a member of ASCAP, Art. Thank you for telling me that.
Hey, I think I paid my fee up front. Maybe there was a couple events, but I did pay. I have canceled checks, and I think the statues for the last 20 years is over.
Yeah, BMI. Francis Preston passed away, so the head of BMI. So you're safe there. So you're okay. You're good.
Watch those first five holes. There's a double bogey looming on 10. 11 green is sick. 12's a vicious three par. 14 has a rough green. Tiger, stand on the 15th tee, even or one under, and he's going to shoot a mid-60s round. Telling you.
I'd love to see it.
Okay.
I'd love to be there to see it.
Art, before we let you go, give us a little wisdom for somebody out there trying to get an extra few yards on their drive. What's something the amateur out there can kind of do simply?
Tim, you know me almost 30 years, and I'm not a braggadocious kind of person. I was honored to receive a phone call from Webb Simpson right before Quail Hollow, the week before. And he wanted some yards without really messing with his swing. And what I found after about 40 minutes was he wasn't optimizing, meaning he wasn't getting the most out of what he was doing. And the first thing that caught my eye was how low he teed the golf ball, which there in turn meant how does he attack the golf ball? And he doesn't attack it on a very upward strike, okay? And he hits it more in the middle to lower part of the face. So we simply, to start, raised the tee, made the same golf swing, and the ball stayed in the air 12 yards more just by raising the tee. And then he was also apexing, meaning his height of his drive averaged 85 feet. Now, it's really fun to work with a launch monitor, especially with a robot that's so amazing like a Webb Simpson or a tour player like that, because they're so repeatable. So his average height was 85 feet. We raised the tee, and I simply told him, I said, listen, show me how high you can hit it. Because his big deal is he can only carry it 274, and bunkers on PGA Tour average carries on corners are about 285 to 288. So that's kind of where they're at. They're at 500. They're at 870 feet. That's kind of the number architects are going to. So he wanted to carry it 15 further. We raised the tee, and I had him try to actually show me how he can hit it. He got the ball up to 110 feet high. He went from 274 to 290 in the air just from a thought and an actual tee height change. That was it. So tee the ball up
yards.
And hit up, and, you know, it really makes a difference. Most amateurs that tee the ball up put a little mark on top of their club. That means you're hitting down. Bad deal. So the most optimizing player on the tour is Justin Thomas. He hits up the most and tries to hit it as high as anybody does. That's why he hits it as far as he does. So that's a simple, quick tip.
There you go.
There you go.
Well, there it is.
Tee it up higher.
I gotta go.
Wow,
that
is simple.
Yeah.
Perfect, Art. I appreciate it. I know a lot of people out there listening are going to appreciate it, too.
My man Webb averaged 301 yesterday, even though he shot 3 over. What? Darn it.
He's undoubtedly one of the nicest guys out there, too, is he not?
Yes. He is just a great person.
Yeah, he really is.
Absolutely great. I mean, we were working that day, and I'm going to say 6 people stopped him right in the middle of his work, and I've never seen a pro more gracious, more hospitable to people, and it didn't bother him at all. We worked for a couple hours. It was a great experience. And he is hitting the ball farther, so I'm rooting for him.
Nice. There you go. Right, there you go. Well done, Art. Well done. We appreciate it. Have a great day.
All right. We'll see you.
Thanks, Artie. Take care, buddy.
See you guys. Right. See ya. Art Selinger. Selinger's Power Golf, by the way. Go to selingerspowergolf.com. If you're ever in the Dallas area, he can customize his clubs and do all kinds of great things, but it's a great website to go to anyway because always little stuff in there about new shafts and whatnot that are out of the market. That Art is, as you can see, right on top of all that kind of stuff. That's a fun little tip right there.
Yeah, that was a great tip. That's what I do already, to be honest.
It's so easy to come up with.
I tee it high and try to hit it high. And that's how I get the distance.
Wasn't it Nicklaus?
My age.
I think Nicklaus even said way back when he hit the ball higher than a lot of guys were hitting it then, he said, I found that air offers less resistance than dirt. So
that's exactly
I'm
right.
I'm going to get the ball up in the air and let it fly in the air. Yeah.
Who said tee it high and let it fly?
Mr. Daly.
Yep.
Wasn't it?
And he does.
Or somebody
John Daly.
Him. Yeah, I don't know.
He's John grip it and rip it. But
yeah.
And he said, I'll have another one. But that's okay. give
me a Marlboro.
What a great guy, though. He did a lot for golf.
Where's my golf card?
I will never forget. Yeah. Quick story. Players' Championship, which you know I like that tournament. Monday finish. Everybody comes out pouring down rain. Just nasty day. And who had the biggest crowds around him? John Daly. And that Monday finish.
Right?
Yeah. He has a huge following no matter where he goes. Still does. He's the everyman of golf.
Wow.
And I don't mean that's not coming from me. That's what he's been called by others. So,
yep.
But I've known John a long time.
Hey, by
time,
the way,
so.
Here's a fun little fact from yesterday's first round. First ball in the air was Sam Saunders.
It was.
First tee shot. And as we all know, he is the grandson of Arnold Palmer. And Arnie was part of the ownership group that bought Pebble Beach about 20 years ago.
Yes.
So a lot of people didn't know that Arnie was involved in a lot more than just playing the game of golf, ownership-wise, and of course design and a lot of financial things. But, yeah, owner of the team
and Jim Nance,
the golf course, and his grandson hit the first ball in the 119th U.S. Open at Pebble Beach, which is their 6th time, and that's the most any venue has ever hosted a U.S. Open. Pebble Beach now at 6. So.
Well, they're showing one of my favorite clips from past U.S. Opens, and it is from the 99 U.S. Open when Payne Stewart grabs Phil Mickelson's face. And you see him mouth, it doesn't matter. You're going to be a father. And that was the
pager
statement.
Tournament. Remember he had his pager back then?
Yes, he had his pager.
Tells you how far back we're going. Who has a pager today, right? He had a pager because his wife was about to give birth. And he said, if I have to go, I have to go. If I'm in the third round,
a pager,
I've got to leave in the third round. You know?
I thought a pager was the second chair in the symphony that turns the page of the music because the first chair can't stop playing. The second chair can.
No.
That's a music thing.
That's it at
all.
I don't think
that's the thing.
I digress.
Beep, 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 beep. Everybody used to think they were a doctor when they wear those. Remember that?
I know. Yeah. Because of Caddyshack.
Well,
right?
Dr. Pager, what we used to do, honest to God, we'd be in the clubhouse, whatever, having cocktails and in the young days trying to impress the girls and all that. And you had your pager, and I would pull a little gag that I would have it go off, and I'd grab, the bartender would bring me the phone. In those days, they'd hand you the bar phone across, and I'd call a number. Well, it would be a buddy. And I'd say, prep for surgery, I'm on my way. And that would get the attention of everybody, and they would say, what hospital does he work out of? Because God knows, I don't want to go there.
I'm never going there. I'm never going to do that.
I can't make it. I got to play an emergency nine. Sorry, let him die. Anyway, I digress, whatever.
Hey, one last thing about grandsons and grandfathers. I don't know if you knew this, but and I think a lot of people have. Phil loves Pebble Beach.
Didn't have
such a great round yesterday and certainly missed that putt. was painful. But his grandfather, the history goes way back to his grandfather, was a caddy at the very beginning of Pebble Beach.
Yes.
When they were opening 100 years ago. Pebble Beach was 100 years this year, and his grandfather, a long time ago, was a caddy back there. So Phil's now gone on to win at Pebble Beach 5 times at the AT&T.
Not a U.S. Open.
But he loves
it.
He's going for the career Grand Slam. We'll see.
Interesting factoid, the first time competing in a U.S. Open at Pebble Beach, who would that be? That'd be the man that shot the 65.
Tony Finau.
No, Justin Rose.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Shot a 65, first time competing in a U.S. Open at Pebble Beach, and he tied the record of lowest first round.
No problem with it. Yeah, he's got to be a guy he's so solid. I mean, his putting has gotten so much better. That was kind of his Achilles, and now his putting is so good that the way he strikes the ball, everything just seems to be so fluid with Rose that, not that there are a number of guys that aren't that far behind, but he would be a guy that certainly looks pretty good going into today's second round and, of course, over the weekend as well, so... All right, I think we've got to wrap it up here.
I don't know. I don't want to. I mean, this is fun. Let's just keep going.
You keep talking.
That's okay. I'm going to go play golf. at Bluegrass Club Corp.
Bluegrass.
Heading out there.
Is that a Club Corp?
It is. Course? It sure is.
Well, if you guys out there want to know more about a great Club Corp golf course near you, go to clubcorp.com and you can find out more. You'd be a member for a day. They'll let you come out and play, test the course out, see what you like. And if you're a member of one, you're a member of over 200 clubs all around the country that you get special privileges at. So, again, go to clubcorp.com for more information about that. All right. Well, thank you to Art Sellinger with Sellinger's Power Golf. Join us today. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Enjoy the second round of the U.S. Open. And please remember to join us right here next time on Golf Talk America.